This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, inflation in the empire of the United States has many concerns. Have the ravages of inflation happened in the past?
Oh, yeah. Now, this week, Jeff Thomas sent out an article that said, quote, going the way of the denarius. It says, history repeats, or at least rhymes. Throughout history, there's been an extraordinary tendency for governments or cultures to follow similar paths. Even regarding eras thousands of years apart, we're seeing people behave much the same way over and over again. So that's particularly true in the case of wrong moves. Over and over, people and their governments make the same mistakes, seemingly never able to learn from past errors. Why should this be? If a government in the 21st century were to make really bad decisions, they're likely to be the same bad decisions that were made in, say, Rome in the 4th century. Anyway, he continues, in simple, it's human nature. Human nature remains the same. 2,000 years ago, governments were typically made up of egotistical, self-centered, dictatorial types who were far more concerned with their own power than the general welfare of the people. Today, politics remains a magnet for such people. Therefore, they'll revert to the type when faced with the very same problems. For example, if we spend more than we should leave in taxes, should we cut back our expenditures or should we go in debt? Well, we'll go in debt and put the debt on the shoulder of the taxpayers. Then it says, the denarius was a coin of the realm during the centuries when Rome was a republic. The silver denarius was equal to a day's wages for a common laborer, and as such was more useful as a primary unit of exchange. Mm-hmm. During earlier Rome time, it was a stable currency. But as Rome became an empire, all that conquest in foreign lands became extremely costly. And it decided one way to offset the cost was to devalue the denarius. Each successive emperor added a bit more of base metal, that means not silver, than the previous one. And by the time of Diocletian, there was no silver in the coin at all. It was only bronze. Anyway, he says, during the same period, Rome experienced dramatic inflation, a predictable outcome when the coin of the realm is degraded. Rome didn't collapse because the denarius suddenly failed. It was diluted again and again until the currency became a tool of the state instead of a store of value.
How does the denarius relate to the U.S. dollar?
Well, because the same pattern is playing out today. You know, inflating away a problem never works. Just like Rome went to an irreversible decline, so the empire of today is a self-destructing entity, in part due to monetary debasement. And the United States has been turning its currency into dross. Now, I saw another article about this. So the major coin, silver coin used for the first 220 years of the Roman Empire was a denarius. It was between the size of a nickel and a dime. High purity, about 4.5 grams of pure silver. But they started to, there's only a limit how much silver or gold you could get. And so they decided, what do we do about this? How do we pay for our wars and palaces and stuff? So they decided to decrease the amount of silver in the coin. So they were able to make more silver coins, supposedly with the same face value. When more coins were in circulation, the government could spend more. So the content of silver dropped over the years. By the time of Marcus Aurelius, the denarius was only about 75% silver. By the time of Gallienus, the coin had barely 5% silver. Hmm. Each coin had a bronze core with a thin coating of silver. The shine quickly wore off to reveal the poor quality underneath.
Well, what was the result of the Roman government's effort of turning silver into bronze?
Well, I'm going to read some more from this article. It was on Zero Hedge. The consequences. It meant more coins were needed to pay for goods and services. At times, there was runaway inflation in the empire. For example, Soldiers wanted higher wages. And by the year 265 AD, there was only 0.5% silver left in a denarius. And prices skyrocketed 1,000% across the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. Only barbarian mercenaries were paid in gold, because they wouldn't take it, the other stuff. With soaring logistical and administrative costs and no precious metal left, Romans relied more and more on taxes against the people. Hyperinflation, soaring taxes, worthless money created a trifecta that dissolved much of Rome's trade. The economy became paralyzed. By the end of the third century, any trade that was left was mostly local, using other methods like barter. And during the crisis of the third century, from 235 to 284, there may have been more than 50 Roman emperors. Most of them were murdered, assassinated, or killed in battle. The empire was in a free-for-all, and it split into three separate states. Constant civil wars meant the empire's borders were vulnerable, trade networks they disintegrated, barbarian invasions came from every direction, plague was rapid. And so the Western Roman Empire would cease to exist by the year 476.
Is it your opinion that the United States is heading the way of ancient Rome?
Well, not quite, but similarly. Now, the U.S. dollar used to be backed by gold and silver. Now, U.S. dollar isn't backed by anything. And this is kind of, we keep printing out dollars, so it's kind of a modern form of dross. Now, technically, dross is essentially the worthless scum or impurities that rise when you're refining metal, because you get it out of the ground, and the junk that comes up on top is dross. When it comes to coins, dross is the part where they put stuff in it that's not real. As far as the basement of hard currency goes, in the United States, when I was a kid, matter of fact, the first job I got an allowance of 10 cents a week. Now, back in 1964, the dime was 90% silver. According to my son Brian, we're worth about $6 now. And a quarter was also 90% silver, and it was worth about, about $15 now. But in 1965, they changed it all. And if you look at the coins, you'll see something that looks like copper on the sides of them. And there was no silver at all in this stuff anymore. And they use cheaper metals. And the United States has gotten so bad, even the penny, which was only a coating of copper over junk metal, it even cost too much to make sure they even got rid of those this past year. Anyway, the U.S. has continued to cheapen its dollar supply, and its production of debt is another massive form of dross.
You know, I can see the problem with dross for government money. Does God have anything to say about dross money?
Yeah, let me read a few scriptures. Proverbs 25, verse 4. Take away the dross from silver. Now I say, sit and listen to that. Here's one, Isaiah 1:22, prophecy, if you want. Your silver has become dross. Isaiah 1:25, I'm going to turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away all your dross and take away all your alloy. Ezekiel 22, the house of Israel has become as dross to me. Okay, they become dross, like dross from silver. Verse 19, because they've all become dross, therefore I'll gather you in the midst of Jerusalem as people take silver, gold, and bronze and throw it in the fire and put on it. I'll do this to you. God's against using dross and diluting the money supply. Of course, modern experts, they have a different view. But the wrong views on economics are going to lead to massive economic problems and ultimately the total crash of the dollar in the United States. The United States has repeatedly proven that the economic pressures in it result in debt increasing. Now, this has worked for a while, actually a long while, but the time is going to come, it's going to end in disaster. And it's not going to take centuries like it did for the old Roman Empire to collapse. Now, back around the year 605, 625 BC, there's a Hebrew prophet by the name of Habakkuk. He wrote a short book of the Bible. Got a lot of implication from the time we're in now. Verse 5 of chapter 1 that said, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, For I'm going to work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you.
Well, how does that Old Testament verse apply to the United States?
Well, many claim that Habakkuk was only prophesying stuff for the past that's already been fulfilled. And if you only look at Habakkuk 1:5, that seems reasonable. But we're supposed to look here a little, there a little, at the Bible. And if you go to these book of Acts, Acts 13, verses 40 to 41, in the New Testament it says, "Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I'll work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." So we see there's certainly a duality in some of what Habakkuk wrote. So there's some for Habakkuk's time and something for later time. But getting back to Habakkuk, now I want to go to chapter 2. He wrote, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables, that it may that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and for the time of the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries," so it means it didn't happen immediately, "wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry."
So what did Habakkuk see in his vision that is so bad that people should run who read it?
Go to verse 4 now. We read from Habakkuk. "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just will live by faith. Printing up money and debt like the United States, the people, the politicians are very proud that way." Verse 5. "Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he's a proud man. Doesn't stay home because he enlarges his desire as the grave. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples." Verse 6. "Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? And to him who loads himself up with many pledges. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? You'll become their booty. Because you plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city."
Are you saying that the prophesied oppression and plundering is coming to the United States?
Yes, with an admitted official federal debt of nearly $39 trillion and plans to increase that much further, the United States has increased pledges more than any nation in the history of the planet. It's turning its non-coinage money into dross. That prophecy in Habakkuk is going to be fulfilled at the time of the end. And the same time of the end is referred to in the Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11. They use the same Hebrew term for appointed times as Habakkuk 2:3. It makes little sense, by the way, that Habakkuk's prophecy for the end time has to do with a tiny nation called, modern nation called Israel. It doesn't have enemy creditors. It's got to be talking about a nation or a group of nations with some prominence at the appointed time of the end. And despite the fact there's biblical warnings on dross money and excessive debt, the United States has ignored those warnings. And yes, one day its dross money is going to be recognized as worthless, only worth the value of the cotton paper it's printed on. And that's not going to end well for the United States. The time's going to come when the economy of the United States will be totally devastated, and those who ignore the Bible's warnings will suffer because of it. The time will come when people will not value make-believe money. It happened to Rome. Does the United States have any hope? Yeah, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if it repents. But at this stage, that doesn't seem likely. We need to put our confidence in God and not in dross money.
Thank you, Dr. Thiel. For more interviews with Dr. Thiel, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is Bible News Prophecy, at gmail.com.